Michael Nordskog works as an attorney, writer, and editor, and lives on a farm near Viroqua. Did I say that right?
Viroqua.
Viroqua, Wisconsin. Aaron Hautala is a creative director and owner of Red House Media in Brainerd, was the founding art director at Lake Country Journal magazine. Together, Michael's words and Aaron's photos make up a brand new, beautiful book that's put out by the University of Minnesota Press. It's called The Opposite of Cold, The Northwoods Finnish Sauna Tradition. And Michael Nordskog and Aaron Hautala are joining me now on Real Good Words. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Heidi.
Well, I think we should start with, you know, one of the most important questions, the pronunciation of the word. Now, sauna.
You want me to tackle that one? I think you have the depth of knowledge on that one, Aaron.
Yeah, I have the historic history on pronunciation guidelines. The proper pronunciation would be sauna, much like pow. Is that correct, Michael?
Yeah,
pow,
right.
Sauna. Yes.
Let's talk about how this book began, how you guys came to be collaborators on it.
Aaron and I had done a magazine piece together for Lake Country Journal about my family's sauna up in St. Louis County in the Brimson area back about 5 years ago. And we really liked the way it came out. My family had rehabilitated an old cedar dovetailed-in log structure near the lake. And Aaron's photos just captured it beautifully in a way that a building I was really familiar with, I'd never, you know, even seen it that way before. And as I had been researching to write a couple other things about sauna, I noticed there was really a need for a book that captured these buildings, a lot of the details and aesthetics of this vernacular architecture, and then looked at even, you know, modern examples and documented how the traditions have survived kind of north of the sauna pronunciation line, I suppose, is our region that we were looking at.
Aaron, you grew up with sauna being a big part of your life. What does it mean to you doing this book?
I think it's probably the absolute highest honor of being a photographer and being able to take pictures for a sauna book, and to do it for not only a sauna book, but a sauna book that provides the space for the photos to do some talking and to go through the process of printing them in the right way so that they're displayed just the kind of the way Mike and I wanted them to be shown. I can't really think of a higher honor that I've had to be able to work on any project, but to, you know, to be the hired gun to go out there and take these photos of saunas from around the, you know, the Midwest and also in Europe as well. It's just an amazing opportunity, one that I dreamed of actually for a long time, and then when it came to fruition, I didn't really believe it was happening, and through 2 years of photography, I don't think I still really believed it was happening, and even when I had the book in my hands for the first day, I put it down pretty quickly because I couldn't believe it was really happening. So it is without doubt one of the greatest opportunities I've ever been a part of.
So if you live in northern Minnesota, if you have any Finnish roots, sauna means so much more than what the thing of it actually is. So what did you want to capture in photographing saunas?
I wanted to capture the warmth of the actual structure and the experience itself, because it's very easy to just look at a sauna, you know, if you're not familiar with it, and see the outside and go, well, it looks like a shack kind of, and then go inside and then, well, it's kind of dark in here. And like, what's the warmth of that? Why would you want to go in there? It's probably hot. It might not even be fun. So when I looked at it from an artistic vision, I was trying to capture each of the structures on the exterior and the interior in a way that personally, and I think a lot of Finns in general, feel about the structure. And that's why we were blessed. I mean, we were blessed with amazing light throughout 2 to 3 years of photography, where we were, you know, given by God just perfect warm light on these structures to make that vision come to light very well. But my hope was we could show this book to someone who has always been against sauna, who's like, I don't get it, I don't want to do it. And they open the pages, they flip through it, they read some copy, and they, for a second, double think themselves and go, well, maybe I ought to do this.
Michael, for you, now the cover photo, is that the sauna you were talking about in Brimson?
Yeah, that's right. That's the sauna I grew up with in northern Minnesota, and I come from a family with no Finnish background. But, of course, in northern Minnesota, as a lot of folks around Grand Rapids know, that, you know, it's a pretty common practice and something that other people have adapted pretty readily because our lakes tend to be pretty cold much of the year, and the weather's pretty cold. And it's a tradition that I think people just feel a real fierce pride about, in the same way that they're proud of being able to endure a 35 below morning and get their car started.
Explain the photo that Aaron took that's on the cover of this book that's of your family sauna.
That was the day. It's better fleshed out inside the book as well. But one thing that Aaron really wanted to get in this book was to capture the experience of someone jumping through the ice into the cold water of a clear lake. And it was one of the last locations we did. Our cabin is on a shore where 7 or 8 Finnish families in a row all settled to have, little lake places back in the 1930s and 40s. So there are all these old, authentic saunas, a lot of them still in the same family's hands, and we were able to get a lot of details there. But it was also a very convenient place for us to be. So when we did that, we recruited some people to jump through, and lo and behold, it ended up being the cover photo, my own family's place, which was a really nice extra surprise in the end.
And I've noticed that all of these, or a lot of these, have the sauna is working in the photo that we see. There's smoke coming out of the fireplace or the chimney.
Right, yeah. I got to be Aaron's technician. I was with Aaron on most of the sites, and we traveled throughout Wisconsin and the UP, and even we spent a couple weeks in Finland and Sweden back a couple years ago to look at the origins of it. But everywhere we went, it's not in all shots, but we really wanted to get the visual of the smoke coming out. So I was his appointed smoke technician and figured out, even when in a sauna that hadn't been used all day and wasn't very warm, how to quickly get some brush in there and get some smoke coming out.
And you did a fine job, I might
Thank
add.
You. Thank you.
Very good. Inspiring.
We're talking with Michael Nordskog and Aaron Hautala. They're the people behind the new book called The Opposite of Cold, The Northwoods Finnish Sauna Tradition. Now, Aaron, I don't know if you want to answer all of the Finnish questions, but it seems to me, we hear a lot the sisu with Finnish culture, and it seems to me that sauna, all of that is sort of bound up in sauna as well, that it has something to do with the character of the cultures as well. What do you think?
I think you're right. The first time I heard sisu, however it's said, there's multiple versions of it, it was when I was going through a painful experience after some sports event, and my dad, I grimaced through it and fought through it, and it was the first time my dad came up to me and said, "You have sisu." I was like, "What are you talking about?" He said, "Well, that's strength, that's fortitude, it's what makes a Finn a Finn." And I don't know what happened at that moment, but from that moment on, everyone, I wanted to be sisu. It was weird. But when you tie in sauna and you tie in these things we grew up with, it's not something a lot of us showed up at age 25 and started, going back into sauna. It was like age 1. The first memory I actually have of being a kid is in the sauna, of actually sitting in there and washing up in a sauna. So it's something that you're not just taking pride in the structure, you're taking pride in the way you were raised, in your family roots. And, when it comes down to, do Finns have a lot of pride in sauna? I think yes, because they have a lot of pride in their families. They have a lot of pride in the relationships. And there's so much more than just a warm box. It's the memories of the people you were with. And I can still remember my grandma and grandpa heading out, although I don't think they took them at the same time, but they would head out to the sauna and they'd come back in, and that was an everyday part of life. And it's so much more about warmth and emotion, and you tie in the sisu, and that's just the pride. That's the sheer pride of something that our family has done. And then when you run into folks that don't understand it, you want to do everything you can to explain it. But it's sometimes incredibly hard to explain to.
Michael, one of the interesting things about this book is that you talked about the sauna on the cover and the dovetailed corners and the different structures that you were able to go out and photograph and kind of witness these for yourself. I wonder if you talk about some of your favorites or a little bit of the architecture of saunas in the book.
Yeah, it's a traditional form, and a lot of them tend to fall within a pretty simple description, rectangular building, especially the ones in the upper Midwest, a rectangular building that's maybe 10 by 20 feet and it's bisected into 2 rooms. But one of the real pleasures of doing this book was looking closely at a few saunas that were designed by Duluth architect David Salmela. And the way he plays with that original form and updates it and provides a building that delivers that same really warm and culturally deep experience. It was a real pleasure, and we got to spend a lot of time around those buildings. And the Emerson Sauna just outside of Duluth, which won a National Architecture Award, is, I think, one of the most dazzling examples. But then also, it's a form that a lot of people are really eager to just construct on their own and build one down near the lake or in the backyard or, of course, you know, in the basement with an electric stove as well. It's something that really appeals to people as just an extra way of gaining some relaxation and wellness. And it's always amazing to find people that are that dedicated to it that they are going to invest in a separate building.
So people get an idea. It's always a little hard on the radio to talk about photographs and what they look like. And so maybe one of the ones that, and there's a few photographs of this one, but it's in Grand Marais. It was a sauna built by the North House Folk School. And the initial photo of it in here with the lake and sort of far away, I wonder if, Aaron, you can maybe describe what that's like. And then Michael, maybe tell us about that day that you were there.
The photo of the Grand Marais timber frame sauna was actually the big landscape shot that's in there. It was the last shot I captured that day, and I just happened to wander out onto a point and look back, and I saw that, and it was overwhelming. And to be able to capture the entire shoreline of Lake Superior with these dramatic, look like ice cubes or polar ice caps that are getting pushed into the shore, and then the very white snow, the little yellow sauna, smoke coming out, and you have the big green tree line and the blue sky. It was just an overwhelming aesthetic that had to be photographed, and it was just the perfect setting. I, in my mind, that's one of the premier, if not signature, shot from the book, just because it was such an overwhelming landscape to just sit there and stare at, and the sound of the ice was quite remarkable.
In the notion of the opposite of cold is something that was in this project right from the start, and you know, it survived as the title. And we really wanted to capture settings that gave you that counterpoint. And there's nothing better, of course, than Lake Superior. And Aaron and I were scheduled to go up at one point to Grand Marais and do a research trip. And Aaron, because of a new arrival in their family, we had to change the time of that. But I was up on my own and asking around up there, and I talked to some folks at the folk school. And like you mentioned, Heidi, this timber frame sauna was a building that you can build in the timber framing course at North House in Grand Marais. And they said there's one down the shore. So I went down there and walked around and explored. I was literally trembling when I saw that. I thought, this is so perfect. This is exactly what we were looking for as what Aaron termed the signature shot. It definitely, I think, demonstrates in the context of a really beautiful landscape photo why this is such a well-loved experience.
What was this process like working together for the two of you? Because it sounds like there's more to it than just this is an assignment and a book that you're working on. You both seem to speak with really some passion behind this project.
Yeah, well, we both are Northern Minnesotans at heart, and we certainly have a passion for this as a distinct, you know, regional, and in an Aaron's sense, a cultural practice that goes back generations in his family. And it was for both of us our first book project, and it ended up being a really lengthy book project because of the University of Minnesota Press's support for it and enthusiasm about it. They wanted to do a book that has ended up being, as people will see when they get a chance to look at a copy, a very, very high quality, beautifully bound book that I think should be a classic for families who are interested in this for years to come. And, you know, I'm humbled by, you know, from my standpoint, to have been able to be involved in something like this. But I tell you, with the subject matter we had, it was hard to go wrong. That would be my conclusion there.
What was it like working with Michael, Aaron?
Well, without him, I don't think we'd have a book. He probably still walks around with a little bit of a limp because he did a lot of the heavy lifting. He did amazing research. One of his gifts is to be a researcher, and he uncovered these saunas. They weren't, you know, just coming out of the woodwork saying, shoot me, shoot me. He found them, and not only a cool sauna and a cool landscape, but actually a storyline and a backbone that tied into the overall arching theme that he was working on. So, yeah, I'm very in debt to, you know, him being able to say, okay, we need to go here, we need to go here, we need to go here, and let's and let's shoot it. And it was fun to be able to go with Mike to most of the places just because you had the ability to kind of work in collaboration then. So it wasn't just myself. And I think what kind of spurred us both on, because it was tiring, it was a long process, and there was times where you just wondered, do we continue? Obviously, we had to, but we would share the photos with each other as I, you know, kind of developed them, and it kind of both spurred us on, especially when you see a shot like that, Lake Superior timber frame. I mean, you see that, and you're like, this is really going to leave a dent. This is really going to be something in the marketplace. It's not just snapshots. These are pieces of art, and they happen to have saunas and the landscape of all these different areas that we captured.
And it's a book that has wonderful photographs that tell a story into themselves, but it's also, you know, combined with Michael's words. I think sometimes we see one or the other, heavy on one and not on the other, and this is just a really nice blend of both of those things. So that's what one of the things that I appreciate about it.
Yeah, and just adding to what Aaron was saying about, there was, of course, the background, but also, we were traveling quite a bit with specific destinations in mind, and we got very lucky with discovering certain other subjects. People will see, when they look at the book, this. A lot of people have commented to me so far on it, a raft floating sauna on a little lake in Finland, and it just is this ideal setting. It's floating out in the middle of a lake, and I don't know if they keep it there winter and summer as well, but it's a nice, really nice concept. And that just happened as we were driving along to our next destination in Finland at one point. But we got lucky with several like that, and of course, we owe a debt to the people out there in some of the historical parks around the small county historical society sites and such that have preserved some of these buildings, including what appears to be, from my research and others' research, the oldest sauna in North America, which is in a small town called Cokato, west of Minneapolis.
Yeah, what is that sauna like?
It's old, that's for sure. It was built around during the Civil War, or right after the Civil War, I think 1867. And Finns tended to arrive in the U.S. a bit later, the late 19th century and into the 20th century was the peak of immigration. But there were some earlier group up in the Upper Peninsula where the mines were there, and then some who sought out, you know, agricultural endeavors out in the prairie. And that sauna is a wonderful one because it has a great story behind it, and it's the oldest, and it's been preserved so long. It's dovetailed, made of oak, I'm pretty sure, which would be a lot harder to work with those old hand tools than the cedar or some of the other woods you see up north. But the original three families that settled near each other had built that sauna originally on the place where their property lines all met. And eventually, as the county prospered, a township road came through there right by the sauna, and eventually, neighbors who weren't Finns started to notice these naked Finns out in their yard as they'd come by on Saturday night when they were, you know, maybe coming home from a day at the market. And it led to a little bit of a local controversy. So, you know, it was a really good opportunity to indicate how sauna is also a stand-in and an emblem of cultural difference.
I don't mean to take up the tabloid thing of this, but you said the word naked, and there are some photos in here that show that have some naked people jumping in the lake or that kind of thing. But
yeah, Aaron, I think you could address that.
I can take this one.
Okay,
I'll
take the naked question.
I think the the nakedness issue is obviously one of the first questions that come up because it's a little bit different than the rest of the day. But growing up, it wasn't. I mean, at least in the Hautala family household and all the other places we took sauna, there was never a combined thing where the men and women were together. I mean, mm-hmm. It might happen. I'm not saying it doesn't. But it was always the guys and the guys and the girls and the girls. And it was always divided like that. And I guess I don't remember a ton of times where I was in a sauna with much older men that I didn't know. It was always probably right next to my dad. And my dad was security, so I don't think it ever affected me that much. But yeah, you become very normalized to that, you know, nakedness in sauna is normal. And ideally it kind of needs to be because wearing a polar fleece jacket in sauna is, you know, a little warm. But yeah, even in Finland and when where else we went, we didn't see very much gender commingling in the sauna at all. It was, you know, even in Finland and Helsinki, it was the guys had their days and the girls had their days. So it was very divided, which I think still makes a lot of sense to me.
And if you're jumping off the dock at midnight, Whatever you do is your business.
Speaking of some of the people you might have met, do you have any story you might want to share of someone you met as along the way to putting The Opposite of Cold together?
One person that comes to mind to me is a guy who he teaches the Birchbark course up at North House. He's another Grand Marais connection in this book. And his name is Eric Simula. And in fact, I know Aaron is familiar in the Grand Rapids area because he did a canoe trip in a birchbark canoe that he circumnavigated the Arrowhead region last year. When I met Eric, I was talking about the project. He said, "Well, you should come up to my place because I live in my sauna." And that was something I was really interested in as a writer, because the common anecdote among immigrant families is, "Well, you know, our family had, you know, this homestead up in Embarrass or Esco or, you know, out in Toivola, and the first building they built was a sauna, and they lived in that for the first year or so while they were able to get other things constructed." And Eric is, you know, really into a lot of folkways and, you know, practices them himself, and he's homesteading up there off the Arrowhead Trail. So I went up and visited on a really cold winter day. It was about 11, 15 below. We skied into his place, and he has this small building that he, you know, that's his cabin now, but it's very easily convertible to a sauna. He doesn't do it too much now, but eventually when he finishes his log cabins and the logs are all drying for that now, that will be his sauna.
Before we go, is there anything I might have missed or that you want to add to our conversation?
I definitely would just encourage people who are interested in seeing some images from the book to visit our Facebook page via theoppositeofcold.com and join in the conversation there. We're going to be doing appearances around the region and doing some slideshows, you know, as the season progresses. We are very eager to share this with people. It's a lot of fun to collect more anecdotes, and it seems like there are more anecdotes than saunas in northern Minnesota, so we hope to be able to show some of them to the folks around Grand Rapids sometime soon.
That's Michael Nordskog along with Aaron Hautala. The book, again, is called The Opposite of Cold, The Northwoods Finnish Sauna Tradition, published by University of Minnesota Press. Thanks so much for talking with us today. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Heidi.